Hey there, you're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are gonna save the world. I'm show promoter Christian Zamora, and I know what you're thinking. What in the world is a show promoter? Well, my job is to make sure you, our listeners, are enjoying the show and that as many people as possible get to hear The Kylo Show, because I think it's amazing. And I think you will too. On behalf of our hosts, Danny Silk and Brittany Serple, we're grateful that you're here and welcome to the show. This inaugural episode, we're going to focus on the principles and practices of keeping your love on, which, hint, hint, is where Kylo comes from, and how to build, protect, and pass on healthy families from one generation to the next. If you want a more hopeful tomorrow, it'll be because of what you do today. And listening to this show is a great first step. So here we go. Episode 1 of The Kylo Show coming at you in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Kylo Show podcast. This is our first one.
The first one ever.
Yes, in the history of ever. And so what we want to do is, again and again, revisit the idea that whole healthy families are going to save the world.
Yes, they are.
And today, we're going to just get into really laying a foundation of what this podcast will be about. Mm-hmm. This is my dazzling co-host,
Hello,
Brittany Serple.
Everyone.
Yes, and she's also known as my daughter.
This is true.
Yeah.
My whole life.
All the way back there. I think that the idea of the Kylo podcast is going to keep focusing on the principles and practices of Kylo, not Kylo Ren.
Which we should probably tell them, what is Kylo?
Kylo is not a Star Wars thing.
It's not.
It is Keep Your Love On.
Keep Your Love On.
Yes.
Which, if you know Danny Silk at all, you've probably heard of Keep Your Love On. It's a book.
Several times.
Yes.
It goes way back to 2012.
Way back.
We have brought it up. We've done so many things with Keep Your Love On, including Relationships 101 and the Life Academy.
Yes.
We've done all these different things.
Kylo's in everything, it feels like.
It does. So. It feels like the whole point behind Culture of Honor, Loving Your Kids,
yep.
Powerful and Free, Unpunishable,
all of that.
Pathway to Powerful, Business of Honor. It's all just laying in there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you keep your love on.
So this show really is all of those concepts, all those things that you have built, created over the years. We've kind of boiled it down to one sentence is, you know, you said in the beginning, whole healthy families are going to save the world.
Yeah.
So I think that's our biggest thing that we want to just kind of present and bring and just have some real truthful conversations around this and give help. But that's kind of the heart behind this. So we're going to be broad today.
Yeah. And so in this podcast, we will focus on the Keep Your Love On principles and pretty much the how. Like,
yeah.
How do we do relationships well? And then we're going to focus on families and how do we protect them? How do we build them? How do we pass them on one generation to
right.
the next?
So let's talk about like the key areas of Keep Your Love On.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is really choosing love over fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to talk about that connection place, because we talk about heart-to-heart connection and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how crucial that is. Communication, how to do that well, how to set boundaries, and I mean that whole powerful person inside of you and all of that. So
yeah.
Give me just a teaser on what are some of those key components.
Well, the Kylo principles again and again start with a powerful person, being somebody that manages themselves, like self-government, personal responsibility,
yeah.
Realizing how free I am as an individual and I have zillions of choices, I have to self-edit.
Mm.
You know, I have to limit my menu option myself,
okay.
Or I will start blaming how I behave, what's become important to me, the things I say. I'll start blaming them on other people,
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to take responsibility for all that freedom. So what I behave becomes blame.
Gotcha.
And I'm a victim, mm-hmm. and somebody else is actually controlling me. So the more that we get away from a powerful person,
mm-hmm.
the more we turn into powerless victims.
So when we talk about whole healthy families and powerful people, so does that mean making everyone in the family a powerful person?
As soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Introducing them to the responsibility that they have for their choices mm-hmm. can start with tossing your bottle.
Yes, you know? Or your Cheerios off of the,
yep.
the high chair. So, and in this, the powerful people, I mean, I love that. I believe completely that that's kind of the foundation step one is understanding what that means. I feel like when we translate that to choosing love over fear, how do we lose being powerful when we're in, got fear in our face? Like what's typically something that keeps us from staying powerful in those moments when we're faced with that?
Probably the idea that we believe we're powerless. You know, we get scared. I believe that I can't make a decision right here. I can't tell myself what to do. I can't afford the consequence that you'll be upset, that you'll reject me, mm-hmm. that you know, I'll feel punished. I'll lose privilege something. I'll lose access to something. So I can't do it because I'm not willing to pay the consequence.
Gotcha.
And so I trade personal responsibility for my decision. I trade it to save my own life.
Which is a big thing to give up. I think, I mean, just looking at myself as a mother, like if I live in fear of my child's tantrum in the grocery store, how does that affect how I parent?
Mm-hmm.
Or even in my marriage, you know, if I live in fear of communicating a boundary to my husband and that it doesn't go well, he doesn't like it,
mm-hmm.
you know, how that makes me a powerless person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to a lot of people where I don't think they realize how easy it is to slip into that place of I'm powerless.
Mm-hmm. And so I blame you for how I treat you.
Mm-hmm.
I blame you for what I did or didn't say.
Yeah.
I blame you for disconnecting and living in a disconnection because
yeah.
of you.
Which is what we're doing right now. We're trying to help people not do that anymore.
Exactly.
Right.
So when we talk about the Kylo principles, this is what we'll be integrating all of these practices into daily life. Mm-hmm. We'll run through as many circumstances and situations that we can think of, both interpersonally and even socially, culturally. I think we're going to spend some time today kind of moving into that space, talking more and more about how cultural elements leave us feeling powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And we end up blaming our character and our life on Hollywood and our parents because we feel powerless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm excited. Hopefully they're excited. We are just starting.
We're getting this thing rolling.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a much needed contribution to the voices that are guiding people and shaping people's lives and hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kylo principles and then really family. I think we'll be talking a lot about what we've learned as your parents. You
and
know,
what I've learned from you as
yes,
my parents.
And what we've intended to set out there as an opportunity for you to pick up. And if you pick it up or you don't, it's not up to me. It's just up to me to set it out there.
Yeah.
And then encourage you and cheer you on and try to make it make sense to grab onto that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, it's not always easy.
No, I'm sure it's not. I mean, I don't have adult children yet.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little ways away from that, but I know how challenging it is just in, you know, 18 and under stage and then navigating marriage in there. But I mean, I think we should go over a little bit of your story of how you built these concepts, these principles, because so much of this is a fruit from your own life and your profession that you were in before you were a pastor. When I was a little girl, you know, I have a different view than anyone else that's probably it's ever true. Listening.
Yes.
And even than mom, because I was a child or a young teenager in most of this. So mm-hmm. I think that I have a different view, you know, so I might have some stories, but
I'm sure you have some, yeah, you probably have so some much evidence.
So much of this was out of your own experience. So I think we should just recap that a mm-hmm. little bit so people know kind of where this came from.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about, your mom and I have talked about this so many places where our parents, so my two parents, your mom's two parents, and then her stepfather who raised her, mm-hmm. it really is her only living parent yeah. at this point. Those five people present 15 marriages to us.
Yeah.
So each of them have been remarried three times. Mm-hmm. And that's the context, you know, that's the template. Like, here's how you do marriage.
Yeah.
And there is an excuse. There's at least 15 excuses yeah. for why you get out of a marriage.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we brought that into our new life in Christ, and those are our tools. Mm. That's my toolbox. That's my my standard of you know, how long you hang in there and what do yeah. you do when it doesn't go. And I think that we ended up with a situation where, you know, we were clinically diagnosed as incompatible before we got married, you know, but we went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, hey, you know, let's put some
thankful for the cross. For
yeah. That. Yeah. Well, let's put some challenge to this Mount Everest climb we're about to do.
Perfect.
And let's pray for a blizzard. Mm-hmm. So it felt like kind of like, okay, we are going into an impossible realm there. Mm-hmm. We really aren't going to get credit for this. Mm-hmm. God's going to get the glory for yeah. this. But in the meantime, we are scooping up as many tools, resources, lessons. I think that, you know, thank God for Bill and Benny Johnson's yeah. context of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I mean, that's we learned that. I think that really taught us a lot of personal responsibility that we didn't realize before. Like, okay, this is directly connected to our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't somebody else's job to make this great for us. It's not even the Lord's job to make this easy for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's really our job to go to Him to figure out what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learned a lot of that. I was a social worker for a bunch of years.
Yep.
So I have a master's in social work. I learned a bunch of stuff about relationships
yeah.
from watching other people mm-hmm. do what I was doing and suffer these horrible consequences I did not want to bring into my family.
Right.
So what are we going to do different?
Mm-hmm. And I think from my perspective or point of view in that moment, in that season, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard you and mom reference that, you know, if you hadn't met the Lord and didn't, you know, bring fathers and mothers into your lives that, you know, modeled the kingdom, this wouldn't have been successful.
We had no clue that there was another way to do it. We had no clue
yeah.
that there were other people that married someone, stayed married
yeah.
the whole time, raised their children, and we couldn't even believe that there were, you yeah. know, I saw this in a movie, but I can't believe it's actually happening.
Which I think is, I love that. That's one of the biggest things I'm so grateful for in hearing your stories and even your being a social worker. I feel like that was a huge element to, you know, you guys, your ability to go and say, we have to find people that represent the kingdom
mm.
so we know how to do this well.
It was kind of like, you know, the Bible says that the path is narrow into the kingdom. And then once you go through that gate, Yeah. It's the biggest life you've ever seen. Once you get in there, you're like, well, what is going on in here? Uh-huh. And I think that is what we experienced when we went through that narrow gate. We realized this is ginormous. Mm-hmm. This is an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah.
All that on top of the compassion that you then have for generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandchildren, you, your family, you know, the boys, their families, you know, that feels like the reason we're alive today is really to hand a legacy off to them that will set them up on a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our ceiling becomes their floor and you guys get to move on.
Which is great. Thanks for that. I appreciate it so much.
It's my pleasure.
The Kylo Show is powered by Loving on Purpose. Loving on Purpose teaches and trains people to build healthy relationships and keep their love on no matter what. So if you want to become a powerful person and build a whole healthy family to save the world, you should visit lovingonpurpose.com. At lovingonpurpose.com, you can check out the Life Academy, which are on-demand courses to build healthy relationships. All those books Danny mentioned are there in the shop, and you can even take a relational health assessment quiz right there on the page. So check out lovingonpurpose.com. Okay, public service announcement over. Now back to the show.
All right, so let's talk about this last year.
Boom.
2020. Nobody saw that one coming.
Well, somebody did, nobody told us.
I know.
Yeah.
It was a big surprise. But, I mean, in the, you know, talking about keep your love on and, you know, all these things of being a powerful person, setting boundaries, good communication, staying connected, I feel like we have had a war in the home like never before.
Yeah.
Oh, really, the world going after tearing down anyone's ability to do that well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, just the introduction of the virus and, you know, its effect on churches not being able to meet,
mm-hmm.
children being unable to go to school,
right.
you know, certain jobs being allowed or disallowed, you know.
People losing their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean.
Just income problems and the number of domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
Mental illness, and just overall conflict that has risen during this time because of people being slammed into a situation that they weren't prepared for.
Mm-hmm. I've had, you know, conversations with friends of mine that are educators, you know, in districts and over schools, and they're talking about the children that are already like a struggle to get to school, you know, and that's their place where they, you know, are more probably connected to somebody, feeling that place of mm-hmm. love, you mm-hmm. know, feeling championed,
mm-hmm.
Are now forced to be in an environment that they're trying to get away from. But because there's no avenue of school, they have no idea like where these children are, where they're registering and if they're going to even come back. And like that part for me, just that's just heartbreaking to look at, you know, I'm talking to lots of ladies mostly, you know, with the idea of we're home now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problems of our poor communication in a marriage, our problems of just protecting distance as our normal is now like the boiling water is overflowing and it is chaotic in the home.
Yeah, and the illusion that you're going to harbor in a safe place,
mm-hmm.
like, well, that's a pretty huge estimate. You know, that's that is saying, well, everybody's home is a safe place. That's not true.
Yeah.
So a lot of children go to school. That's their safe place.
Yeah.
A lot of people go to work. That's their safe place. So, you know, collecting everybody into a home that has been bombarded mm-hmm. with dysfunction and set up to not connect, you know, not to congeal. This isn't the place we all try to gather up. It's a place we actually are trying to avoid. I think there's some reasons for that. I think that our society has attacked our faith, mm-hmm. our families, and our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
over the course of decades to deliberately disintegrate families. It's an antichrist theology that if God is at the center, then we are actually supposed to build strong, whole, healthy families. Yeah. That's the goal.
Right.
And when you attack God as the center and you actually remove God as the center, mm-hmm. you can easily accuse families of being a dangerous place, mm-hmm. of being where all the dysfunction comes from,
yeah.
of being the problem. And there's no gathering mechanism because you've removed the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, the our Father has been removed as a something that holds us all together, and we are now just running around like a bunch of orphans everywhere.
Which, you know, this thing of the churches can't meet, you know, working in children's ministries for years, I know firsthand how, you know, parents kind of walk in and give their kids to us and say, here, teach them the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this concept that is so far from what it's actually meant to be, which is that you teach them and we're just here to support and back you up. But that's not been what's happened. And so now more than ever, I think God is missing
mm-hmm.
it because there's no place for them to even have a little bit of encouragement to push mm-hmm. them back in the game, so to say, and just keep leaning in and leading this. And that's the part that, I mean, I look at, you know, our little family unit, and I'm grateful for so many things in this season, but I just think, gosh, if we weren't paying attention to begin with of having God in our home as present and as, you know, that was just a focus of ours. It's always been a goal. Like, but that's not the normal because, you know, church is usually doing it for us.
And we want the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
of God and his kingdom in our families. We want love, joy, prosperity, hope. You know, we want all of the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's like we want the kingdom
mm-hmm.
without the king.
Well, that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah. But that's society at this point is we've tried to produce the fruit of the kingdom through crazy approaches, mm-hmm. including government. Like somehow government is going to give you life and liberty and
freedom.
Yeah. And you're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That is, but somehow when you remove God, when you remove the Father, that's exactly what you look for, a replacement. Like, okay, well, what is the crux? What is holding us together mm-hmm. here? And so faith goes out the window.
Yeah.
Faith gets chased away. The family is now vulnerable.
Yeah.
The family is scrambling around trying to figure out what connects us, what holds us in place.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is really nothing. There's nothing holding us in place because we've been so pumped full of selfish
mm-hmm.
drive and ambition that every person just goes and does what's right in their own life. And now it feels like we're just coming apart. And the parents just go, hey, you teach my kids.
Mm-hmm.
You teach my kids morality. You
yeah.
teach my kids everything. And the system of government says, gladly, we'll take your kids and we'll teach them they actually don't need you.
Hmm.
They're actually better off without you. They're better off without a family.
Which, you know, you just talked about how we'll take your kids, we'll teach them. You know, I think everybody in this last season has been, they have their kids and they have to teach them school.
Mm-hmm.
They have their kids and they have to teach them church. They have their kids and they have to teach them healthy relationships, but they can't even do it. So it's just like this crazy real picture of, wow, there isn't anything that we're doing that we're leading them well in because we've given all these roles away to different people.
And people are getting their children back and realizing, oh my gosh, you don't know the important stuff. What happened? Mm-hmm. What are they teaching you over there, right? And this isn't a knock on educators. I know lots of educators I just love. But I think there's a spirit that's driving education at a much higher level than maybe at our local schools and teachers. And that spirit is disassembling mm-hmm. our society, disassembling our morality, disassembling our trust, our families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea of critical theory has been introduced into society, and it is devastating. It basically just teaches you how to criticize things to death. It's not critical thinking. Critical thinking is a beautiful construct to help us think extensively and molecular. You know, it's super important. But critical theory comes from a very communistic base, mm-hmm. and it is here to tear apart society. So it's like a tool that takes everything apart. If your dishwasher stopped working, and you hired a plumber, mm-hmm. and he comes over, and you say, "Yeah, there it is. There's the dishwasher." So he goes to work and takes the whole thing apart.
All right.
And you have nuts and bolts and panels laying all over your kitchen. And then he walks out.
That would not make me very happy.
That's critical theory right there is, oh, I see you have a problem with this thing that's supposed to be working. Let me tear it apart to uselessness and leave it. And never supply you with something that works. All I can do is I can come in and tear apart anything. By being critical of it.
So how do we, like, being so critical of something and tearing it apart to, it sounds like it's worthless at that point, even more than it was beforehand. How do you, like, if that's the experience that we're having in all these things, how do you change to be, like, get out of that place of, well, I mean, I feel pretty hopeless. If I were left with that dishwasher, I'd be like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah, you've had your dishwasher disintegrated.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a repair. Mm-mm. You know, it wasn't an improvement. It was no help. But when we send our children to the disintegration factories and then they just learn to be critical of everything that in history that has ever supplied us with stability and security and forward momentum, they just disintegrate it and they call that progressive. Hmm. It's progressive to destroy everything that has been building momentum for us. And so I think, you know, when we have a condition in society where we can't really borrow from the past, we can't, we don't have a momentum. Mm-hmm. We just have absolute criticism of everything. So we're gonna tear, you know, we're gonna burn books, and we're gonna go after anything that has ever been a part of our history. We're gonna tear our history apart. We're gonna disqualify, disintegrate our children from the reward of their inheritance and leave them with no legacy at all. And I think this is the condition that we're in, and it's literally threatening our culture, mm-hmm. and our freedom, you know.
I think about, you know, just part of a struggle and a war that I feel like we've had is even just around the technology piece, mm-hmm. that has been introduced to our, I mean, I could say my children, but even my life, you mm-hmm. know, like, you know, that little notification I get that says how much time I've spent on nothing. It's basically what it feels like. I've wasted this time of my day most of the time. I'm not on there too excessively, but it does feel like, you know, there's so many distractions and so many things that now have permission that are supposed to be places of ownership that we have, mm-hmm. places of ownership of what make us a powerful person, what make us leading our family well. They've been given away to all these different elements. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the example of education, like you were breaking down, like I, you know, we have our kids in public school, and the schools we choose are good schools because, you know, I'm fussy. But I think, you know, there is a piece of me that just blinded trust, I would say, that was given. And I don't think there, I think now having the kids at home, there's been a realization of, wow, I've never had these conversations with you. Mm. Not because I didn't want to. It's just I trusted someone else to have it. And I realized, wow, this is a core value in our family that I've never even really dug through. So, I mean, that's the part that, again, I feel like we've just blindly trusted and given away our position.
And you should be able to trust. You know, you should be able to say, help me, and not have to filter out everybody's motives and everybody, all this stuff. There should be a culture that is focused on being trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it's a culture that's focused on life after getting rid of God, which in the purest presentation of it is when you get rid of love, you have built a road to enslavement. You will be in bondage to fear. Fear will become the master, and it will enslave you. And so Jesus came to set us free. You know, he came to set us free from fear, that we would not be slaves again. And so when you get rid of the kingpin of love, God the Father, when you get rid of that, you can't help but introduce fear and create enslavement.
Which is, this is the place where we are trying to have our freedom back.
Yeah. Freedom fighters.
Freedom fighters. There you go.
Do you want to be a freedom fighter? If we want a more hopeful tomorrow, it'll be because adults learn to be powerful people and practice love today. We can help. This is why we built the Life Academy and the newly released Life Academy Kids. The Loving on Purpose Life Academy is on-demand courses that will teach you and your family how to be a powerful person and do relationships well. You can find the Life Academy and Life Academy Kids by visiting lovingonpurpose.com and clicking courses.
Okay, we have talked about some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
And if they're still listening, which I hope you are, we are coming with the hope right now. We're coming with solutions. I mean, you should know by now, this organization, this ministry will not leave you without some hope and some solution. That's what we love to do. Yeah. So I think we're talking about the breakdown of family, just the things that have been given permission to, just this freedom being robbed, you know, faith being taken down, and our families just being kind of split, and just the foundation is not there. So what are some solutions? How do we move forward? How do we repair this? How do we have whole, healthy families? You know, because I'm pretty sure that these listeners want to help save the world by being whole, healthy families. So how do we do that?
You know, I think that bringing heaven to earth is a, it's a beautiful thing to, you know, have roll off your tongue and to say, we're here to bring heaven to earth. And, but what is that? I mean, what is heaven?
Right.
Heaven is the most Christ-like that a human being could be. Like the most like Jesus that you can possibly be is heaven. I mean, that's the fullest human being you were created to be is manifest in we see him and we are like him. That's the goal. So to be most Christ-like, we have to have the most love of our Father as he did. So I think step one is going to be that we have got to have a global revival. We've got to have a great awakening. We've got to have a come to Jesus time.
Amen.
Every single family leader has got to come back, repent, and say, I believe that you are my Father. I want to know your heart. I believe that Jesus is that door that I can go through and be restored to my Father. Without that, you can see hell. Hell's over there at the other end. It is the disintegration of a human being to being unrecognizable as being human. So when we, you know, if you go to the, the darkest places of a prison, mm-hmm. or the darkest places of Skid Row, or someplace where people are just strung out, and you see the way these people live, mm-hmm. treat each other, what they will do to get what they want, you think these people aren't even humans. So the farther away you get from wholeness and the shalom of being Christ-like, you are disintegrated into being inhuman, which is the father of fear, Lucifer. Lucifer is trying to disintegrate humans, and Jesus is trying to make them whole. And here's the battle. Right. And so and some people like to stay in the middle. You're like, I like to stay in the middle of light and dark. I'm not really sure where that line is. I don't think there is one, right? And that's why Jesus says, you're either for me mm-hmm. or you're against me. You're either moving towards me or you're moving away from me. Mm-hmm. There is no, I'm gonna hog up the ground in the middle between heaven and hell. No, you're not. You're going to be facing one direction or the other, moving in one direction or the other. Mm-hmm. So I think, obviously step one is we've got to repent and move towards Christ. Yeah. And until we do, we are adrift. We are, we're in neutral on a hill, mm-hmm. and we naturally flow towards fear. We naturally flow towards survival and self-preservation.
Do you think that flow, that there's less conviction if I'm in the dark?
Yeah, I'm deceived.
And so, that's why there's been such a pull even for Christians to live in that middle place, because the conviction that I have is minimized in this shadow, mm-hmm. so to say.
Yeah, it gives me this delusion that somehow I can decide what wisdom is, what life and death is. I can decide what good and evil is.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're describing we become our own God.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's exactly what happens, is we take on that role. And so we got to repent out of that, mm-hmm. and literally see the world like Jesus did, which is, I do nothing that I don't see my Father doing. To do my Father's will is my bread. I will be about my Father's business. Now, Jesus Christ is talking like that. Right. He's saying, you know what? I am here to do the will of my Father. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. And so men and women are in that lane. They are living as they were designed to be. We're whole families. We're the men are whole pursuing Christ. The women are whole pursuing Christ. The children are watching mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, men and women live lives in pursuit of who Christ is. And they go like, why would I do it any other way? Every adult I know is in this hot pursuit of the Father. Well, I better get going, because the consequences of walking away from that are disintegration. But when every adult you know is on a hot path to disintegration, you think, okay, well, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And that's, it kind of comes back to our family's histories. We didn't realize we had a choice until we met Jesus.
Right.
And it was at that point we realized, oh my gosh, I don't have to just do what I've seen. I don't have to fulfill that template. I can actually move in this direction that I see these other adults that we've met.
Mm-hmm.
They're going this direction. It's actually where I wanted to go in the first place.
Yeah. Which I think you're describing, or how I'm hearing it, is there needs to be a known identity of who you are,
mm-hmm.
and what you're called to do, what you're called to bring, and your place in the family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a woman. here I am. I'm a woman. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. And, you know, that doesn't make me less than Ben, but that's my role in this family. And I think, you know, him understanding his role in the family makes us both successful,
mm-hmm.
which makes our family successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came to me the other day and said, he was struggling with something, and he's like, I feel like I've, you know, it's very mild, but he was hiding this thing from, you know, even the Lord in his heart. And he said, I'm not leading us well because I'm not letting the Father in, in this one little piece,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm looking at him thinking, I'm like, I'm so glad, like, that's your little piece. I'm so grateful that is it, you know, and then he's repenting to me and to the Lord of, you know, he's lowering the standard of our healthy family because he's not letting the Lord into this one place,
mm-hmm.
And not walking in his true identity. So I think that's the place that I'm hearing over and over again, is that chasing down, you know, knowing who you are in this place of your family. And, you know, we're talking whole healthy families right now. So what does this look like for someone that's not married yet? What does this look for, like, for someone that's like maybe in just married, no children? Like, cause I mean, that's the beauty of Keep Your Love On and Kylo, is that it's not just,
if you have a relationship with a human.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how does this look like in your friend, like in your pursuit of, you know, building a whole family, and being a whole person even? How does that break down for them? Like, is it, can you translate this? Can you move it over to an individual?
Yeah, I think it's just that whole people, mm-hmm. you know, whole people create whole families.
Yeah.
It's putting off the things that have been so distracting and destructive, and pursuing as much an identity in the Father. So when I look at the Father, I see him looking at a dearly loved son,
mm-hmm.
and that I answer the call to be a godly man. And as I realize what a godly man is, there's zero desire to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to be as much of a godly man as I know how to do. And I think when wholeness enters my life,
mm-hmm.
there's that shalom, there's that peace, there's that blessing, prosperity of soul.
Mm-hmm.
There's a true identity marker in each person. And men and women were created to be exactly that, so that they could come together and
produce.
Populate the world,
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know, and subdue the earth and rule heaven on earth.
Right.
And it's not an oppressive ruler like the Gentiles, but it's really to be a good servant,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, as Jesus did. That's exactly what we're here to do.
And it's this partnership, and, you know, that servant, you know, going and laying your life down. I mean, all of that.
Covenant, all that stuff.
All of that stuff, mm-hmm. is all within that. So again, I think, I mean, the takeaways as far as putting God back in the family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and knowing your identity of what wholeness looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big takeaways I'm hearing as moving towards whole healthy families.
Yeah. I think the realization that we are in a covenant,
mm-hmm.
We're in a covenant with God first. From that, we make a covenant with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then some covenants are specific to marriage and family that require the most from us.
Yeah.
You in a covenant, I lay down my life for you. So in a family, you get the best I got.
Right.
You know, you get the deepest commitment of my life that I can actually pour out.
Mm-hmm.
And in that progression, society flourishes,
yeah.
because we actually learn what it means to make a covenant with a nation, to make a covenant with a people,
mm-hmm.
to make a covenant with a generation. Like, I am here for your long-term benefit.
Yeah.
So I'll manage myself towards your success again and again.
Which, that sounds like a world I'd love to live in.
Let's do
Come
it.
Come on, people. Okay. That's what we're doing.
Whole right? families.
Whole
Saving the
families
world.
Is what we're chasing after. Join us, please. We need your help.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. For the next 7 episodes, Danny and Brittany will be laying down the foundation for why we need whole, healthy families and how they're going to save the world. On next week's show, we'll talk about God's design for family. It's going to be awesome. Never miss an episode by subscribing to The Kylo Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch the show on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armerding with co-producers Ashley Beck and Anna Hill. And show promoter, me, Christian Zamora. That's all for this episode. We'll see you next week.